Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together tonight, Lord. Bring us together in one accord, Lord, in the Spirit. And we know that when we come to you, Lord, in the Spirit, mighty things happen. The shaking of the world takes place, and it shakes the flesh off of us, Lord. We praise you for it, and we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that to each and every one of us, teaching us how to be led by your Spirit, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be special, that we're going to be led by you, Lord, to do and to say the things that you have asked us to, and ask questions that pertain to things that you want us to talk about, Father. And we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for all the healings, the deliverances, and the circumstances that have been answered by our prayers. And we praise you, Father, that everyone here has the same power and authority as each other. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for this open heaven that we have also, Lord. That when we pray, we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this times coming ahead where people are going to be moving around, Lord. And you're going to be situating them for the times ahead. And Lord, we thank you for getting that settled for us. And we praise you, Father, for taking the spoils of the wicked and giving them to the righteous, Father. And we praise you for that also. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yes, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, I have a praise report and a prayer request. Little Theo has been playing with a rubber lure for the last week or something. He's kind of busted that thing up until it just looks like a little worm, but he calls it his fish. And so today he had it again and he was playing with it while I was cleaning house, and I heard him start crying, and I thought, oh, something's wrong. So I gave it a minute and he's still crying and he starts calling for me. So I come over there and I instantly realize he stuck it up his nose.
Oh my goodness.
And he is sucking it in as hard as he can because he can't breathe. And I'm like, no, 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 you got to stop breathing. You got to breathe through your mouth and we got to start breathing out. And so he's kind of trying to breathe and then breathe out because mommy's telling him to. And so I just take a minute and I command that thing to come out in Jesus' name. And would you know it, two snorts later, that thing was on the floor. So praise the Lord. Because I couldn't see it.
Glory to God. Bless his heart.
I walked up to him and I checked his nose and I couldn't see it. That thing was a goner. But commanded it to come out, and two snorts later, that thing was out. He was just so amazed. He's like, Mom, it's wet. And I said, yes, you want to put it in the garbage. Don't put it in your pocket anymore.
Oh, my gracious. Bless his heart.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All I had to do was say the word and it came out. So praise Jesus for that. Thank you, Lord. I also
wanted to ask for big fish.
Amen. I also wanted to ask for additional prayer for Maria and her husband. Their baby is still struggling with jaundice. The doctors are going to recheck tomorrow, and if it gets any higher, they're going to make them go to the hospital. And Maria obviously does not want that. So, Father God, we've already prayed and commanded this jaundice to be gone. For all these required levels to come back to normal, for the baby to eat normally and have good diaper changes, Father God, as the doctors gave them a long list of to-dos, Father God, and we're believing that it's done, Father God. We also ask that you fill up Maria and her husband with lots of faith, that they stand on this ground on your word, Father God, that it is done, and it'll be done by the power of your Spirit in that baby, and that they don't have to do another thing, and that they don't have to worry about anything else. So thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Does everybody believe with Lana? I do. Thank you, Lord. That baby is back the normal color that she's supposed to be in Jesus' name. Amen. That's going to happen. It's already happening. She's going to be calling you a little bit. All right. Go ahead, Donna. You got to unmute yourself. There you go.
My daughters were going to go look at a house, two of my daughters, and I wasn't going to go, and I just felt led to go. It's kind of weird. And I went and seen the house, and my daughter liked it, but it was too small for her. And I just felt led to put a bid on the house. And I'm waiting. I'll hear like within an hour whether I get it. There was, I don't know how many showings. There was over probably 20 showings. And there were 6 bids on the house for sure. And I don't, it's a little farmhouse. It's 2 acres and 2.17 acres. Has a steel building on it. Nothing fancy. It's, you know, but I'm just praying God's will be done. If he wants me to have it, then he'll provide. If not, then he'll close it.
Amen.
So.
All right, Lord, we just believe with Donna that it is done. Whatever you want, Lord, she knows that it's your will. So, Father, we just thank you that you either open it or close it, either way. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Geneva. Caught you by surprise, didn't it?
Woo! Look who here.
Oh, yeah. Look at that cat.
it was crazy, too, because, anyways, he ran away. He jumped out my arms, but, is exactly how we prayed. I was sitting in the room and I heard a little faint meow, and I stopped my TV and I was like, what's going on? And then I kept listening, and all of a sudden I heard it. Morgan ran in here. He goes, you hear that? I was like, yeah. So he took off toward the back, and I like was going around the front. And so he didn't see him back there, and I didn't see him either. So then we came back inside and I sat down. And I waited again, and I heard another little meow. And then sure enough, he comes right up to the front door like we prayed, came right up to the front door, and I opened the door and he walked right in. He's never done that. So anyways, that was the Lord. But
praise the Lord.
I was thanking the Lord and stuff. Anyways, it was great. But I guess it just, you know, goes to show too how, you know, God, I mean, he even cares for the little things. I mean, even like our little critters, you know, like that's how much he loves
Absolutely.
Us.
Amen. What's that? Is that Sylvester? Did you say his name was?
Almost. It's Kiki.
Kiki. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or Kinky. Kiki.
Kinky. Yes. All right. Oh, my. Well, praise God. Kiki, we so glad to see you home, girl. All right, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Hang on a sec. You got my hand. Okay. I was thinking of raising this on your Tuesday night. It's a kind of a bit of a hard one. I have, and we have a friend called April who's in Tennessee, and we've prayed for her before. She or her family in this year lost a nephew in quite dramatic circumstances, and a brother as well. I think would have been on your Tuesday morning or maybe the day before. Her father, or her adoptive father, but her father took his own life. The family's just getting tragic. I mean, there's more in April's life than this, but there's tragedy after tragedy. And the poor woman, I mean, she's wondering how much more. So anyway, well, when I got the news and I got it pretty early, I was kind of a loss of what to pray for her. But other than this is what I've come up with. And look, I just bring it in here because I just would like us to pray for her in particular. And the only thing that came to mind was what Jesus said to Peter. He said, look, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And this poor woman has been sifted. I won't argue with that. But, you know, as Jesus said, he prayed that, you know, that Peter would, you know, come out of it stronger anyway. So if I can pray for April, and if anyone wants to join in, I'm going to fumble around. But Lord, I just want to bring April up in the gathering here. I should imagine there will be a funeral very soon. And Lord, when it's a suicide, I'm distant, but I'm at an incredible loss of how to even speak to it. But Lord, my concern is one for my friend, that her faith does not fail. And that Lord, scripture I'm going to bring besides what I've just mentioned is, and I have no idea how you do this, that you will cause even this to work together for good. For all of those who love you. And Lord, I just want to pray over the family and particularly the wife, April's mother, in this situation. Amen. Over.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty miracle in this family. And we thank you for it, Father. We're just believing by faith that you're going to turn this thing around for her in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, Megan.
Yes, I need a prayer request about my hiring situation. I'm first time. I didn't make it, and I'm doing a second time at job fair tomorrow. So I need to pray for it and open doors to any employment, because I never worked before, and then I want to pray for the open doors for job opportunity.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, God bless you, Megan. Is this interview you have tomorrow, is this for the same position in the company, or is this something totally different?
The same position.
Okay. All right. Well, you got your feet wet. You got in there and you had an interview. So that's a good thing. You know, sometimes those first interviews are just to get, that butterfly feeling out of the way. So we lift up Megan to you, and we pray for your favor here, Lord. It's we pray that you give her complete peace and calmness when she goes in for this interview tomorrow, that you open up this door for her, and that she go in there with boldness, and let her know and understand that you were with her, and that you would just, Megan, just take the Lord's hand when you go in there and know that he is right there with you, and you don't have to worry, you don't have to be anxious, you don't have to be fearful, that you just answer the questions to the very best of your ability, and the Lord will give you the words to speak. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving her this job that she's applied for, and that the interview is going to go well, that she's going to find favor there with the person she's interviewing with, and that your peace is going to guard her heart and her thoughts, and she's going to speak clearly, and you're just going to give her the words to speak, and it's going to be great. And we look forward to hearing the good report. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's done. We believe it. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, Marilyn. Sorry I missed you a while ago. You got to unmute.
Go ahead.
I wanted to follow up on Greg's prayer request.
Okay.
And just add a little bit there. Father, I thank you and praise you that Jesus told his disciples that I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to heaven so that Father can send the Comforter. And Father, we pray that. That's what we pray for April. I pray it for her mom. I pray it for her whole family. Father, just a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That ministry to comfort, to bring peace, and even a joy in a situation that without Jesus you could never have. But Father, we're trusting and believing that April has joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And we bind up, not only for April, but for this family, the spirits of grief, heaviness, anxiety, depression, discouragement, hopelessness, darkness, weariness, that this is all just too heavy and too much. We bind these spirits up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that through all of this, that you would draw April really close to you, and that she would cast all of her burdens upon you, and you will sustain her and you will not allow her to be moved. And I pray, Lord, that she's even going to be able to minister to her mom, that the spirit of Christ in her, the love of Christ in her, and the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in her, that you're going to use her to minister to the whole family here, and to be a blessing and a comfort, because she stands on the solid rock and she's not going to be moved. So, Father, I thank you and praise you. What's impossible with man is possible with God, and that you're well able to do this. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Clara Rion, I saw you had your hand up a while ago. Did y'all have something you wanted to say? Or
I do, but it can wait for later.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Pat. Amen to what you prayed, Marilyn. Thank you, Lord. It's happening.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on with those prayers. First for April. Lord, I would I agree with Marilyn's prayer. Lord, I just agree to bind those spirits of hopelessness, whatever spirit that is driving that environment in that family. Lord, I just bind that spirit right now and cast it down underneath the feet of Jesus. And Lord, just pray that you would encourage, strengthen, even through this grief and through this darkness, that you are leading April through, that you will make your word, the Psalms, especially your Psalms, make them real and significant in this time, and speak to her heart through those words in Psalm 23. Though you lead us through the valley of shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Lord, just bring forth your spirit within her, and bring forth that praise out of her heart, that she might touch the hem of your garment, touch your life, touch your presence, and be blessed, and that she would share, and that light would permeate that family and that environment and break it down. Let there be light scattering the darkness in that family, even now, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your strength and your power and the authority of your word. the truth of the Holy Spirit leading us into the truth out of the darkness. And we thank you for that. Thank you that the darkness cannot stand in the midst of light. And I thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for Megan and the job that you're giving her. And Lord, just encourage her and strengthen her to be confident in the fact that you are with her. And not only that, that you're going to change the hearts of those that are interviewing, that are doing the interviewing. You're going to guide their hearts into seeing the value that Megan is bringing to the table, in that, Lord, you've given her a heart of compassion. You've given her a heart of desire to learn, to overcome the obstacles that are before her, to be a servant. Lord, we just pray that you would allow Megan to rest in that servant's heart that you've given her, that you have placed within her in your spirit. And we thank you for that. Encourage her and Lord, give her excitement for this journey that she's starting, because she's starting it with you in a new experience. And we thank you for that, Lord. We bind any kind of spirit of anxiety or discouragement or hopelessness, even in this situation, Lord, for you reign in the kingdoms of men, and these little kingdoms on this earth are no problem for you. And you delight in casting down the strong, high imaginations that those that don't know God place upon us. But we're not limited and bound by those. And so we thank you, Lord, that you've translated us out of this dark kingdom into your kingdom of light. We thank you for it. We just bless Megan and trust that you're leading and guiding her and into the place where you want her to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Benita, you're up.
Yeah, hi. I just have a silly little thing. I've got this little thing on my arm that is just annoying. It's just a little black dot. I don't know. So it doesn't hurt or anything, but it's kind of like that wart Geneva had, and I know it can be healed. And so I'm just asking for healing on that, and that it'll just go away.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that thing to go from her arm right now in Jesus' name. You're an unsightly thing, and you got to go in Jesus' name now. Amen. Greg just whacked it out of there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's gone. It has been whacked by the great Greg in Jesus' name, and the Lord in Jesus' name. It's done, Vanita. That's gone. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Geneva.
I'd pray too. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Am I good? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, that this is gone from Benita and that she's not even going to think about it anymore, Lord, that she's completely at peace. And then before she knows it, she's going to look and she's going to say it's completely gone, Father. So Lord, thank you for what you've done for me, and thank you for what you've done for her. And I thank you, Jesus, that our faith is going to continue to be increased. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. It is done. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? All right. Go ahead, Marissa.
Hi, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So a couple weeks ago, I have a praise report. A couple weeks ago, I asked for prayer about my grandma who had unforgiveness towards my mom. And I just want to give a praise to the Lord that the next morning, like first thing, it was my mom's birthday. And first thing in the morning, my grandma told my mom that she was sorry, which is totally unlike her. My mom even said that the last time this happened, that it took like weeks for her to like talk to my mom, and my mom had to be the one to reach out to her and kind of make amends and things. So it was just totally the Lord that the next day the Lord had softened her heart and she had asked for forgiveness. And so that relationship is mended and everything is good. So I just want to thank you guys and thank the Lord for softening hearts and for giving us forgiveness.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You're such an awesome God, bringing families back together. Glory to God. Amen and amen. All right, Mariana.
Hi, everyone. I had a dream the other night, and Isaac wanted me to share it with y'all, just like as a form of encouragement. It was just like a quick little snap, like a one little scene where I was in the woods, and in the woods I saw, it was like springtime, I could still see through the woods, and I saw David and his wife Alina, and David was leaning down and he had this brown wicker basket, and inside this wicker basket was food. And Isaac said when I told him that it was fruit was in there, and David was pulling out fruit and he was handing it to his wife, and I just knew that they were going to be taking that fruit and sharing it and giving it to others, and like in the wilderness they were producing fruit and they were going to share it with everyone. So it was the dream, and I woke up. I thought it'd be a quick little encouragement to
amen
and Elena there.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Evangelist, huh? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Lord, we thank you for blessing David and Alina with more of your blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your gifts flow through them, Lord, in a mighty way. Glory to God. Both of them have a heart for you, Lord, and we just thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do mighty works through them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted us to pray for my friend Torbjorn again. I've talked to him now. I don't know if you guys remember, but this guy who had a stroke of some kind, and he's been in the hospital now for quite a while. But he's getting better, but he's still very tired as to, he doesn't. Whenever he's had a few visits now, I think his family has been able to visit him twice, and which is very little, but because of Corona and everything, they don't allow much of those visits. So, but he cannot really handle too much, it gets tight and everything, and they're saying it's another 4 weeks at least in the hospital. And I just want to pray for a more speedy recovery.
Okay.
He will walk out of there for much faster and healthy, and I want him and others to see the Lord's work in this, so that there's also salvation. I'm pretty sure it will come at some point, and I believe this might be part of it. But every time we prayed before, there's been development the next day. So,
okay, what's his name, Mark?
Torbjorn.
Okay, yeah, I remember. Go ahead, we'll follow behind you.
Yeah, I'll try to pray. I'm always tired when it's like this. I'll try my best, but I feel a little bit more awake now. Father, we come before you. We thank you. We praise you for Torbjorn. And I know, Lord, we know that Jesus took all this on him. I know, Father, that Torbjörn is not saved yet, but I do believe and I'm praying for that he's one of the elect. You can do it. You can still bless him. You still partake of that in advance, I believe. I know that David has been teaching that, and I believe that too. He has also blessed me in so many ways, Lord. So just like David has been showing that, well, it doesn't seem as if those people on the island of, I believe it was Malta, they came there and were healed, and it doesn't say anything about them being saved, but they blessed the people who were shipwrecked there. So, and Torbjörn has blessed me quite a bit in so many ways, Lord. So I'm praying for his healing. And I pray that you will do a quick work in him. I pray that he and his family and people around there, the doctors and everybody, will see and wonder what is happening, because tomorrow he will already be so much better, and he will not be tired anymore. He will be everything will be restored. He will be healed, and everything is back to normal. And people will be wondering, he will be wondering, he will be wanting to get out of there. And I don't know how fast they will let him out. But I still pray that those 4 weeks, it's not going to be even close to as long as how he will stay there, Lord. So we thank you and praise you for his healing. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Without this, without that, it wouldn't be possible, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we lift him up and we thank you, Father, that blood is flowing through his brain right now like it's supposed to. His memory's coming back. His strength is coming back. And Father, we thank you for infusing him with supernatural strength that he would know it wasn't coming from him. It had to come from somewhere else. And Mike's going to be able to tell me, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from God Almighty, because we prayed and we believed. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Torbjörn or whatever, Lord, you know, is going to come into the kingdom in a mighty way. And he's going to be a great brother. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for him. And in the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God, it's going to happen, I know. Praise you, Father. Lord, praise you, Lord. Can you pronounce his name again? I just haven't
talked to Torbjörn. Torbjörn.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, you were close enough this time. It was very good. Hopefully.
Amen, Mike, thank you. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
I have. Yes, go ahead.
I have a prayer request and also a little bit of a praise report. My daughter, Tanya, first of all, Bernie's in the hospital. And that's what I want to pray about. Every time she had to deal with him in the past, fear would be on her. But she's been able to build up her faith. And this last time that she went in the hospital, she had to see him. She had no fear. So I look at that as a praise report. And she's been, Willie and her, my grandson Willie, that's her son. They have been going over to this church that's a spirit-filled casting out demons and they're prayer warriors. They're really, she's been blessed and Willie's been blessed. And in fact, he when they went to a Bible study, he had a vision while he was there. And I'd never heard him get visions before. He's had dreams, but not visions. And it was a really neat dream. It was a vision of what he realized was an angel. And he wanted to make sure it was a true angel, he wanted to make sure it was a good angel, not a bad one. So he came against. And he said, if you're a bad angel, then you got to go. You don't belong here. But that angel took, he had a cloak on him. That's why he was wondering. He had a dark cloak on him and a hood on his head. And when he prayed that, this in this vision, this form took that hat or that cloak had off of his head, and all he saw was shining light, and he kind of gestured to him that it's a-okay, you know, it's okay. And this form that he felt like was an angel turned around, because he saw the shining light first before he saw this form. And then he saw this form, and it was facing him, and then it turned around, it faced the light, and it bowed down to the light, the shining light. And after that, he turned back to Willie, and Willie saw him gathering him and some others. He kind of sensed there were some others there too, and they were gathering prayers and then going off. But I thought that was kind of unique. He never had a vision like that. He's, like I said, he's had dreams, pretty neat dreams. But the one thing that Bernie, we have been praying for him. He says he's a believer, but he's not been showing it. He's been bitter and angry and hard, even at the hospital. So I come against those demons that are using him against himself. Break the power of you demons over him. And Lord, I just pray that you will do a mighty work in his heart. That you will bring a change in him in such a way, bring that healing to his body, that he would recognize it's from you. And he would give you glory and honor and praise. That you would give him a changed heart, because that's what he needs, Lord. Just bring him to soften his heart, to be broken and contrite towards you, Lord God. And I just thank you, Father, for you using him after that as well, in Jesus' name. That prayer beforehand encouraged me. So anyway, thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe with you. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring Bernie out of all of this. We bind up unforgiveness. We bind up hatred. We bind up bitterness. We bind up faction. We bind up all of those tormenting demons that have been tormenting him all these many years in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that this light that he saw is going to change his life in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Because I know that light from Jesus. Pat talked about that the other night. Okay, Claire and Riyadh.
Hi.
Hello.
I don't know how many things to say, but let's see. The first one is that yesterday it was my daughter's 10th birthday, and it marks 11 years that we've been walking with the Lord to the day. So we really, like, it's just such a wonderful thing, because we were baptized exactly a year before she was born. And so that's just really wonderful. And while we were out celebrating with her yesterday, we met this family, and it's a funny thing. I'm not going to spend too long on it, but the man in his conversations with us said the word blessed. Okay, so when I just asked the Lord to kind of lead me whenever we're out in public, and very often he doesn't let me say anything, but when the man said blessed in his talking about their life, I there was like this bright light that switched on in me, and I looked at Rian and I'm like, on the recording, you won't see my big
signs
smile.
Signs of life detected.
Yeah, signs of life detected, you know? So I said immediately, I was like, well, we'll just pray that God will continue to lead you and bless you. And I was obviously a bit louder than what I needed to be in the coffee shop. And, I was just so excited that somebody was actually using this kind of terminology. And I was like on a bit of a high, and we got to the car, and I said to her, I'm going to write them a note. Like, I'm just going to write them a note, and I'm going to leave it on their car. And because we saw which car they were in when they arrived. I'm like, and you know, as the Holy Spirit leads, like whatever. So I write the note that they should come and pop in for tea. We were on the other side of the state yesterday, and they're in a camper van doing a little tour of the state because they want to come visit or live here and stuff. Not that I would ever recommend anyone to come live where we live, but they're passing through. So I thought, well, there's not a coffee shop or anything. They might as well come to our house. So I just wrote a little thing, and I was very vanilla. But at the end, I just said, God bless, with very many exclamation marks at the end, which I know is like, that's not, evangelizing by any way, shape or form, but it was just so exciting. And then I saw them come to the car, and I said, oh, I've just left a note. So, you know, look for the note before you get in so you don't, you know, it doesn't blow away. And anyway, that we didn't hear anything from them last night. So I said to Rianne, well, maybe they're just like New Age people that just use the word blessed and then that's fine. But if they see the word God, then maybe they don't, you know, so we'll just leave it. And we just got a message now that they're going to come this weekend for a cup of tea or something. And I'm so excited. So I don't know what's going to happen. But
and they asked in the message if there's a church nearby that we know of. Where do we go to on Sunday mornings?
So we're kind of like, well, why don't you stick around and see? But no, we haven't said, I haven't replied anything, obviously. You know, the best case scenario would be that, you know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit if they're not, and that we just, you know, have this amazing fellowship. But let's just pray for them. Can we pray? I'll pray, and if you can all just agree with me. Lord, thank you so much for putting these people in our lives, and that we could have sweet fellowship with you tomorrow, Lord, and with these people, and that their family would be blessed while they're here, and that they would feel the Spirit of the Lord on them. Father, I pray that you would encourage Kylie, to the wife, to be bold in her decision to homeschool, because she is thinking about that, Lord. And wow, have I got a lot to say about that, Lord, but I trust that you'll put a guard over my mouth, and that you would just lead us, Lord, gently, like you always do. And this would be a beautiful testimony of how you bring the body of believers together. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I have one more thing to say about that. So we get home, and I'm talking about this to Rianne, and Mika comes in, and I'm telling you for comic effect only. I'm not telling you as for any other reason. But okay. She sits back on the couch, she puts her hands in there, she goes, Mommy, you're like an apostle with the gospel. You never stop.
Praise the Lord. She must have your sense of humor.
she was just behind us here, and this is the first time they've heard it, that they're coming, because they don't know we've received this text message. She goes, Daddy, they're coming tomorrow. We're going to baptize them. Okay, <whoa.
laughs> that's the expectation, right? You just want to lead people to the first water because then they'll never ever be thirsty again. So, yeah, it's really exciting. And as you can tell, there's not a lot of fish here. So when you see one, you kind of get very excited. Yeah.
Amen. I wish you'd show a little more emotion. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I've just such restraint,
Michael. Just take it up a notch, you know?
That is so cool. That's good. Thank you for that. Lifted my day up. Praise the Lord. All right. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, it's something I want to tell everybody that's kind of been happening to me in the last, this is about a 3-week period of my life that I've been dealing with something, but I haven't really sought prayer from everybody. I've just been, you know, praying amongst myself and casting these thoughts down, but it's been pretty serious. So I want to start with the sequence of events of how it all transpired. So one night I'm sleeping and I have a dream. And in this dream, we're in the desert. I have one of the kids' hands. We're walking, and Marina is holding the other kid's hand. And Marina stops in the dream and says, I just had a vision. And I said, yeah, what about? And she said, there's a spirit of witchcraft trying to get on you, Isaac. And I seen it as like a spider web and that you got tangled in it. And that was the dream. So the next night or the next day, I get a call from a gentleman, you know, a Christian fellow. And I'm going to keep this pretty vague. So anyways, we were talking, and he started making some serious accusations, very serious accusations, and, you know, against me and certain beliefs. And it's not like this person is a immature Christian. Anyways, so, you know, I'm trying to discern what's right and what's not, you know, because I'm even in a situation to where it gets pretty rowdy, where, now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't getting mad or saying anything, but, you know, I was like, well, I don't know that I received that. just straight up told the person, I don't know that I don't receive that. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. And bear with me. So I didn't, I'm trying to discern the truth out of everything, and I'm trying to be careful and let the Holy Spirit guide me. And then I just feel like, you know what? You shall know them by their fruits. And in this conversation was no grace nor love. And I know that. And I'm like, and I just told him, I said, man, what do you expect me to believe when there's no love or no grace? The Lord says you shall know them by their fruits. I said, how am I supposed to take this right now? And that didn't go over well with that person. Now, I took all the criticism pretty well. And then it got pretty heated on one side's part. And I just said, hey, listen, let's finish this conversation on a like-minded ground. And let's call it for the night. Let's get off here in good standards, because that's probably the right thing to do. Anyways, I asked, God, it shook me up pretty bad. And I asked the Lord for a dream about this person. And I had a dream that night. And I was in the dream. And I was in this, I'm going to try not to take long, bear with me. So I was in this like fence in area in the wilderness, but it was like rocky mountains and like pine trees and stuff. But I was fenced in this area, and all these wolves started to come to, wanted to attack me. They wanted to devour me, but they couldn't get to me because of fence. Anyways, this person picked me up in a car and took me just right across the fence and dropped me off where there was no fence. And then this person climbed up a swing set and was fearful and yelled, "There's wolves coming!" And these wolves started one. They all came out of everywhere. There's probably 30 of them. And they tried to attack me. And one bit me on the arm. But in this, this is probably about three weeks ago. One bit me on the arm, but it couldn't penetrate my skin. Because I remember it felt like when a puppy or a little dog, you're fighting with it, you're playing with it, and it bites you in the arm, you're wrestling with it. That's what it felt like. And I looked down, and for some reason, I had a baseball bat in my hand. And I just started swinging the bat. And I remember hitting these wolves, and I remember their jaws would fly to the side. I was breaking their jaws, through the Lord's strength. And I was just swinging the bat, and I was swinging the bat one arm until they all were destroyed and they ran off. Now, granted, after that, I walked up to this hotel room, and I seen this man, and he was facing east with a maroon baseball cap, and he also had a baseball bat in his hand. And I remember all these people come running out of the hotel, and they were just flesh, like not graphic, but you could just tell it was just flesh. And they all took off running toward this man, and the man never. They come running down the stairs and out of everywhere. Man, there's probably 50 of them. They come running at this man. And this man just swung his baseball bat behind his back because he never did face him. He faced the east. And he just kept on swinging it. And, man, he was in the dream. He was breaking kneecaps, and they were flying, and people were going everywhere. And he just destroyed them all. And I remember he looked at me, and he said, "That was easy." And I woke up. Anyways, I've been dealing with this for a while, and I've been casting down thoughts. I've been praying. I've been asking God for truth in everything, even in spite of myself. And praying in the spirit, like Michael says, asking to hear the Holy Spirit more often. Anyways, last night I talked to Geneva, and I wanted a little more prayer. And we prayed, and this ends up on a good note. But it was a trial. So last night, I fell asleep and I had this dream that I was walking around in this hotel room, and I was praying in the spirit. And I was praying in the spirit. And it's funny because just like 2 weeks or no, like a week ago, I asked to hear from the Holy Spirit more. And that's when, Michael mentioned, forgive me if I'm butchering this, but if you pray in the spirit, you'll be led by the spirit. So I was praying in the spirit, man, and I was casting down these witchcraft coming into the room, and I was casting them down. I was casting down demons and dark spirits and witchcrafts, and I was casting them out. And I even got on my knees and prayed on my bed, and I could tell that there was an entity behind me. But I, even though I knew it, my eyes were closed, and I was thinking on my father. And there was no fear because I was thinking on my father. And then I got up, and they left. And I went to go close the door, and the door was like cracked, but I didn't know it. And I closed the door all the way this time. The door closed, and I locked it. And I grabbed the lock and broke it off the door and threw it down on the ground. That way the door could not be opened again. And, you know, and I just kept praying the spirit. And that was my dream, because I was praying for, you know, deliverance of this. And even though I didn't know what it was that was trying to attack me, exactly whatever witchcraft it is, you know, because I don't mean this arrogant. Even in my ignorance, you know, there's things I'm, you know, Lord shows me things I'm working on. Anyways, the Lord shows me things I need to work on, but you know, there was not any willful disobedience I can think of. Anyways, but I woke up and I felt really good about it. Matter of fact, I woke up at like 3 a.m. and did just that, what that dream was. And I really felt blessed by it, that the Lord brought me through. And then he gave me a few more dreams, but I won't go into them, about 2 more dreams last night about kind of what was going on. But I just want to share that. I don't know. Y'all can pray. Y'all can, you know, be encouraged. Maybe it doesn't sound like the most encouraging thing, but it was encouraging for me to have that dream, because I've been asking the Lord just to show me and deliver me, and to pray in the spirit and cast them all out, close the door and lock it and throw that lock down on the ground. But, you know, for what it's worth, I just wanted to share.
Amen. Sounds like you're defeating the beast. All right. Yeah, Pat.
Isaac, I just wanted to ask you a question just for clarity. The guy that grabbed you and tossed you over the fence, was he the same guy that was standing with his back to these people with the club?
No, this was a different man. And honestly, in the dream, I think that man was Jesus. I do. Because the flesh, because the guy that first picked me up, he picked me up in a car. And I know I've heard David say a lot of times a car represents our works. I could be wrong about that. I'm sure there's different meanings. But he took me in his car and dropped me off in an unprotected area and left me for the wolves. But after God defeated them in me, I walked over to the hotel room. And that's when I haven't been able to say this dream without getting very teary-eyed. I'm surprised I'm doing well today, but it was Jesus. It was Jesus that defeated all that flesh and all those people. And, you know, so, yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you to continue to work in Isaac, and that we bind up the enemy against him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that that religious spirit that came after him was witchcraft. And we just praise you, Father, for your protection against him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for growing him up. Amen. All right, David.
I had a question. Could dreams be attacks as well? Or...
can they be attacked?
Can they be attacks?
ATTACK?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I had a dream recently that we moved back to Missouri and we surprised everybody. Again, I saw my truck and a trailer, and we're at my parents' house, and the date November 13th came up, and I know that's the day of my birthday, because they were saying happy birthday, and that was the day I showed up there, and I just don't know, because it seems like God led us here. And I was trying to figure out what that dream might have meant, and I just couldn't fully clarify what it was.
Yeah, I asked the Lord to give me another dream about what it means. That were you visiting or were you moving?
We're moving.
Oh, okay. Anybody got anything? I'm gonna share it with him. Yeah, Marilyn.
You know, David, I know that recently your folks came to visit, and you know, they're not in agreement with you being a part of this body. And, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, part of this is witchcraft coming against you. You know, witchcraft can be other people's prayers against us, you know, witchcraft, faction, and, you know, they don't want you to be a part of this body. And I was thinking about it being your birthday, you know, they want you back at your birth roots. You know, back to where, come back to where you were born and, you know, be a part of, you know, what you always were before you, the Lord led you out of that. So that's just some things that were coming to me.
Yeah. Before my parents left, they did say they were praying that we'd move back. So, that clarifies a lot.
Yeah.
Like Marilyn says, look at the dream in the spirit. I think the way you might have been looking at it up to this point is just physical moving and stuff. And I think you have to look at it in the spirit to know what's really behind it. But anyway, the Lord will show you what's going on. I think Marilyn's probably, you know, giving you a few clues there, but you'll get an understanding of this.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
I think what Marilyn's saying is absolutely perfect, and I agree with her and Barry. And Rhiannon and I were just having this discussion this morning, and sometimes we forget that what we speak of and what we share on here is recorded, and anyone can listen to it, and that shouldn't bring a spirit of fear. That should bring a complete spirit of boldness. And likewise with whatever David shares about what brethren send to him regarding dreams. And I think if people are reading and speaking about their dreams, there's always the opportunity for somebody with a spirit of slander or a spirit of antichrist to pray against it. I know I've been attacked quite tremendously in my dreams this past week. And I just come against it, and I'm going to pray for everyone.
And if you just before you do that, if you think about what just came to me now, is that you guys, David and Elena, you've been mentioned in a dream probably for the first time that I've heard it on the recent podcast. I think a dream Mariana had, and it was shared on there. And if the factious guys are scanning through the podcast and things like that, you know, they might be sending witchcraft and slander and things like that against us. Claire's definitely experienced that a lot with her dreams being shared more frequently the last like year or so, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then coming under attack quite a bit. So yeah, that's not for a spirit of fear, that's just for us to pray against, right?
So I'd like to pray for the saints. My prayer is that Lord, you use us as vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. And when we're walking right with you, Lord, and we have hearts of repentance and we have hearts that are turned towards you in absolute obedience, Lord, I know that you will not put us to shame. And Father, I know that when we are covered by the blood, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so, Lord, I come to you now and I pray for the protection spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally for the saints, both on the outreach and in the physical community of believers of UBM and those worldwide as well as local. Lord, I pray that you would send the angels to form hedges of protection over the dreamers and their families. Father, I command through the power of Jesus Christ in me that these attacks cease and desist, They have no place in the kingdom. They are not sent to refine. They are sent to cause confusion. We do not bow down to confusion. We do not bow down to condemnation. We bow down to the one true holy God who is sovereign and who sent his son to die for us. We do not live under condemnation. We live under conviction, and we are convicted of our righteousness in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free from this attack. And thank you for proclaiming the victory for us, Lord. And we stand with you, Father God, in faith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe it. Thank you, Lord. He is free. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, Pat.
Yeah, that one kind of derailed me. I was thinking about something else, but yeah, I agree with that prayer. Something experience that I just had. I know that a few messages ago. Well, let me just say one thing about that. Is that the Lord is allowing this process with this scenario to happen, even these attacks. And through the process, we wouldn't even be talking about it if it's the openness, the honesty, the confession, the prayer, and everything that is tearing that whole process down. So it's exciting that it's happening, because even, you know, like David says, that when Satan is doing his best, trying to beat up on us, so to speak, he's really just training us to be able to fight, stand on faith, and to take these things down. And the other thing is that he reveals these little niches in our psyche or in our soul or whatever that are hidden out of our awareness that we're not aware of, and these things, he smokes these things out within us, and which is an added benefit to this whole process. But and it's because of that I want to and thank the Lord for that as well, just the grace to be able to separate ourselves in Christ enough to be able to observe these attacks, recognize what's happening, and to be able to respond in faith toward them. So it's exciting what the Lord is doing. Something that got smoked out in me a little while ago is a couple weeks ago, I think I stood in faith, proclaimed that I had an ant attack in my house. They were literally funneling through, you know, between the kitchen and the dining room, just a trail. I mean, you look down there and stick your finger down there and they crawl over the thing. But obviously you don't know where they're coming from. All you can see is where they're, you know, the path they're going. And so I commanded those to stop, to, you know, go away, do not penetrate the house anymore, etc. And they did. But the next morning when I woke up, the thought, and I think I might even said something on one of the subsequent message or conference calls, but the thought came into my mind, there's going to be a few stragglers. There will be a few stragglers that it came to me that didn't get the memo, and I would just have to deal with them. I'd have to, you know, stand up against them. And that thought flew through my, you know, it hit me, and I just accepted it and went on. And sure enough, have these little stragglers every once in a while. One will crawl across the counter and I'll mash it out and whatever. And it didn't dawn on me until the other day, a couple days ago, that I accepted that thought. And that thought was contrary to what I commanded and prayed the previous night. And so it kind of just dawned on me this morning, actually, when I was thinking about it. I received that thought. I took that thought and I didn't refute it. I didn't think about it. I just accepted it, thought, well, it's the Lord just showing me or whatever. So number one, I guess I'm saying this now as a matter of confession, I'm going to refute that now and stop that and command that those ants are completely gone in the name of Jesus, and there will be no stragglers. But the thing that I thought about is it was just so very subtle that it just slipped in. I accepted it and kept on moving. Never even thought about it. So what I wanted to ask for prayer is that God would fill me with a fuller sense of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word, and make me more sensitive in the Spirit to see this battle, to see these very things at the time they happen, and to cast them down immediately. I guess it would be more of a sense, just a desire to have more of a sense of a clear hearing of God's voice as opposed to thoughts that are coming in, and to be able to discern the difference quickly and deal with them properly. So that's my confession and that's my prayer request, I guess.
Okay, Pat. Go ahead, Isaac.
Oh, David had his hand up first.
Okay, go ahead, David. I can't hardly tell up here.
Go ahead, Isaac.
Okay. in my life, probably since last year especially, man, there's been a real outpouring of dreams. So let me try to pep up here real quick. But man, it's been an outpouring of dreams. And guys, I'm telling you, like David said, the Lord's coming in His people before He comes for His people. And the end is here, the morning of the third day. Read John chapter 4. There's a lot of hidden parables in there. It really is. And I think you'll see that, because I didn't mean to get on this, but I want to read this word about dreams and warning dreams to everybody, because, man, I get my fair share of warning dreams, let me tell you. But I'm thankful for them, even though I wake up, I'm like, gosh, darn, happened again, and then I'm like, man, Lord. But I know not to get condemned about it, because my Father loves me and He wants to mold me into His Son's image. And thank God for that. But I was going to say, this is real cool too. I don't know. Even the Gentiles, when Jesus went to go see the Samaritan woman at the well on John chapter 4, she had the five husbands. Okay. There's a parable in that, because they actually believed in the five Samaritan. They believed in the Samaritan Pentateuch, which was five books of the Torah, but it had their own added stuff to it. Also, and if you read in 2 Kings, there was five beast kingdoms that put their gods and religions into the Samaria. And you can read that. That's I think 2 Kings 17. So it's pretty cool, but that's not my point. The thing is, after they believed, they asked Jesus to abide 2 days. A year is as 1,000 years, or a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's 2,000 years. We're on the morning of the third day. Jesus is right here. You know, think about that. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, and I will take it gracefully. But 2,000 years. Think about that. It's pretty cool. So I really believe that's coming. That's why there's this outpouring of dreams. So I said all that to say this, right? Because we're only a few years away of 2,000 years of when Jesus was born to now, which would be the fulfillment of the Gentiles. Just something to think about, talking about the fulfillment of dreams. But what I want to read is this, Job chapter 33, verse 14, because the Lord showed me this, and it made me feel a lot better. And he even gave me a dream to tell me my morning dreams were okay and that he was molding me. So, because for a while, I was taking them pretty hard. But if this helps anybody, let me read this and just know you are coming into the image of Christ. Okay. Job 33, 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, though man regardeth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw from him his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed and with continual strife in his bones, so that his life abhorreth bread, right? That's the word. And his soul dainty food. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. And the Lord showed me, and his bones that were not seen stick out, because there's, you know, self of me that I don't know about. Times I'm like, I'm ignorant to it. And I'm like, man, you know, the Lord shows me a dream. I guess, man, I am that way. What? I got to work on that. And even the bones that were not seen stick out, even the flesh that was not seen stick out. And he shows you these things. So this is really good stuff. Yea, his soul draweth near into the pit and his life to destroyers. If there be with him an angel, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man what is right for him, then God is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returneth to the days of his youth. He prayeth unto God, and he is favorable unto him, so that he seeth his face with joy, and he restoreth unto man his righteousness. He singeth before men and saith, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profit me not. He hath redeemed my soul from going to the pit, and my life shall behold the light. Awesome, awesome word there, man. I'm telling you, and that's, hold on to that. That's what I've been doing, but I just want to share that.
Amen. The part about he returneth him to the youth. I love it. I love it. Come on, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, David.
I want to pray, and if people could add, because I feel like God's doing a lot in me ever since that call with you, Michael, and David. And there's a dream that I think I shared with you about one of the coworkers that we prayed for, the one that had just had the child. And I mean, he's not a Christian right now, but I had a dream that we were sitting at the table, and he looked at me and he asked me about God. And in the dream, I lit up and I started telling him everything I knew. And like, I believe that day is coming soon, because usually when I listen to music, I just put one earbud in and I stay quiet throughout the day. But today I noticed myself walking around and singing the songs I was listening to. And I'm over here listening to these Christian songs, and I started singing, and I'm like, wait a minute. I got all these people that don't believe in God around me, and I'm walking around singing my songs. So, I mean, I believe that it's going to be soon, and I just pray that God prepares me and gives me bold faith, no matter what other people may think or say about me. So, God, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day you've given, Lord, that you've brought me and my family this far, Lord. I thank you for the full deliverance you've given me, Lord, and that you are opening our eyes to the things that we need to fix in our lives, Lord. I thank you, Father. Lord, build my faith, Lord. Lord, you see this company I work for. The boss is Christian, but most of the workers are, Lord. I believe that you're bringing to the day where you'll want your name being praised throughout anywhere we go. Lord, just give me the faith. Give me that bold faith so that I could stand up and say, you are the God I serve. And you are the God that I live for. And nothing can throw me off that path. I thank you, Father, for everything you've given, for your love you poured out on us. Lord, I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. All right. Go ahead, Megan.
Yes, I want to ask a question. I keep having dreams about like me and past buildings or high school, or dreams of people from the past. I'm looking at it like in a sign of like a delay or anti-progress. That's true. I keep currently having dreams of that.
Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Megan, did you ask the Lord for a word about those dreams, or have you asked the Lord? Like sometimes I'll get dreams too about being back at the workplace, which is the last place I want to be. Lord's, you know, delivered me from there. But I'd had dreams about being with these people and doing some of the same things I had been doing before. And sometimes there's a spiritual meaning behind that. I would ask the Lord to give you a word, but dreams about being in other like buildings you were in, or being back in school. Being back in school can be like, you know, studying the word and being, you know, being back in school, we're studying the word of God and going to class and teaching our spirit man. And, you know, without having the whole kind of dream and stuff with the details, it's hard to know what maybe dreams about buildings of our past are about, except that maybe if there's anything of our past that we're still holding on to, or you know, that our past is our past and it's something we have to put behind us. You know, we forget the things that are our past and we keep running forward in the race that we're in for Jesus. So I don't know if it's anything bad or not. I mean, I guess I would ask the Lord to give you a word about that, and to for him to show you in a way that you can understand what did the interpretation of that mean? What is he trying to show you? Because he'll tell you. And if you write down your dreams and put as much detail as you can into the, you know, dream, you can send it to, you know, you can send it to Michael or something, and he can maybe make sure it gets to somebody to help for the interpretation of that. But yeah, write down as many details as you can about them. And because the more details you can remember, the more helpful it is to see the bigger picture.
Okay.
Okay, good. God bless you.
All right. Anyone else? It's been good. Been awesome. I got a praise report. I'm talking about an international praise report. I ain't talking about local. I'm talking about international. I had to get on a support for a computer. And I was talking to this guy from India. A very nice fellow, very very patient, very meticulous in his work. And he wanted to help me get this thing going like I wanted it to go. And while he was doing some stuff that was repetitious, and I knew it was going to take a while, I got to talking to him. His name was Sid. And I asked Sid, I said, well, where do you live? He says, I'm from India. And he told me the name, but I couldn't pronounce it, so I did forgot about it. But anyway, it was over close to the coast, he said. And he said it was 87, and he said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's 87 degrees. I said, okay, it's pretty warm over there. He said, yeah, and humid too. Anyway, he told me, he said, that area where he is the most infected with COVID in that country. And we got to talking, and he said, everybody around me is getting a vaccine, and I've been debating whether or not to get it. I said, oh, praise God, unto myself. He ain't taken it yet. I said, have you done any research on those COVID vaccines, Sid? And he said, well, I've done a little bit, and I didn't like what I saw. I said, well, don't put that stuff in you, but don't let them put that stuff in you, you know. I said, believe God for it. I said, I'm a Christian. That's what we do. We believe God to save us and to protect us from all of the diseases and stuff. And he's very diligent in doing that. And we trust him implicitly to do it. And he does it. And he said, well, everybody around me said they've all got it and they want me to get it. I said, well, that's the devil trying to get you to take this COVID thing. I said, in the first place, that COVID thing is going to kill you. If you just look and see deep enough, you'll find out that vaccine will kill you in a few months. And he said, okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better that I hadn't taken it yet. I said, don't. I said, get out in the sunshine, get you some Canadian Club water. It's the same stuff that Trump used to keep COVID away from him. And I said, you'll be fine. He said, well, I'm going to write that down. I said, okay, praise God. I said, think about Jesus, too. He died on the cross for you. Anyway, he wouldn't let me talk a whole lot about that. But anyway, we had that kind of conversation. That was good, I thought. Keep a man from taking the vaccine, for goodness sake. That's a devil. Might stick. All right. Who is that? Yeah, go ahead. Is that you, Dominique?
Yeah, it's me. I'm here. So I'm working right now, like usual. And,
You're talking to us. What are you talking about?
That's true.
Go ahead, bro.
So this girl came in and was asking for a Juul pod, which is like an electronic cigarette, right? And she said that she seemed confused. She didn't really know much about it. And she said, honestly, you know, I'm just craving nicotine. I haven't smoked since last summer. And I said, you know, I smoked a cigarette. And I said, well, these things are more addictive than cigarettes. And I didn't tell her this, but they're actually more addictive than heroin. Katie had a hard time getting off of it. So I just told her, I said, you know what, this probably isn't the best option. And she said, well, do you think I should just buy a cigarette? And I said, well, what I think you should do is just walk away in general. And I didn't bring up God. Usually I do in this kind of situation, but I just kind of said what came to my mind at this point. And I just said, I think if you just wait an hour, the craving's going to pass. And then she gave me a fist bump and said, you know what, you're awesome. And she walked away. I'm probably getting in trouble for doing that, but I always tell people when they go to buy those Juul pod things, that they're really dangerous because that nicotine salt stuff is is really bad for you. That's what they use. They don't use regular nicotine, which is bad for you too, but nicotine salt's real bad for you. So I explained that to her, and she decided not to get anything. She just walked out empty-handed, and she was pretty happy about that. So I felt like that was a pretty cool praise report that I wanted to share, that this girl decided to do that. And it was only because of Katie's testimony that I even knew any of that kind of stuff. So it's cool how God related that to that situation. If Katie hadn't gotten saved and delivered from her her addiction to that nicotine stuff, I wouldn't have been able to tell that girl that. So it was really cool that that happened today at work.
Amen.
That's all.
Thank you. How's Katie doing?
She's doing good. She's doing good. She's
awesome.
Yeah, doing well.
That's good. Thank you, Father. All right. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? I don't shut down now, but go ahead, Claire.
I would like to share this thing that the enemy tried me with this morning. So last night we listened to a message from Andrew Strom, probably just one of the old ones. And it was really encouraging because it's something I've been asking the Lord, and I know Pat's been asking God, and I know Rion has, and I know Isaac has, but, you know, how do we just like, how do we get into that spot where we just in the spirit and yeah, we just being led every minute by the spirit and not by our flesh. Anyway, so after this horrendous dream I had last night, which turns out not horrendous, just an awesome morning. I start thinking about, and I mean, I went to bed with a repentant heart, right? So I'm like, I'm clean, I'm white as snow. I go to bed, I wake up, and my first thought is, Lord, lead me. So there's no space for sin while I'm sleeping, surely. Do you know what I mean? And then the enemy comes and he says, you didn't like being baptized. And basically the enemy's, my thought process was, oh, I don't remember coming out of the water feeling shiny and new. I remember feeling pretty angry. And I remember going to get dressed and just being quite frustrated by the whole thing that I was. My makeup had run. My hair wasn't pretty anymore. I had to get dressed. My parents were there. They didn't agree with me. Another lady who was there was saying that this went over most of the people's heads. They don't understand what they've done. And all I thought was like, I've just done this to be obedient. I don't know the in and outs, and I'm sure the Lord will reveal it. But while I was doing that, I was like quite frustrated. And I told Rian, like, so the enemy made me question, how is this? The enemy made me question my very first outward expression of obedience and faith. And then I said to Rian, but we've been walking this path for so long, and my faith day to day shows fruit. I'm not speaking from a point of self-righteousness, but we've just, you know, we've been delivered, we've overcome, we've seen demons, we've cast them out, we've healed the sick, blah, blah, blah. We've done all these things. And we've, you know, the flesh has died so much. So why would the enemy then come today and decide to, it's 11 years. Why would he do that? And Rian's like, well, that's just what he does all the time. And I just thought that's so funny. And I hope it encourages everyone that when you get into that funk of thinking, you know, like that, it's just, it is so the enemy, because it can't be us, because we are just so closely knit with our Savior. So I don't know, maybe it's also a bit of a confession, but yeah, like, I love the fact that we got that opportunity and we did it together, and praise God.
Amen. They're running with your mascara stuff down there in the chat. They're having a blast with that one. Anyway, that was good. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? I know my mascara ran too when I got baptized. It was just awful. Just so awful. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead. I see it. It's hard, but I saw it.
I don't know why it's hard to see. I'm sorry.
It's right there on that lamp. It's right on the lamp.
Okay. I'll try to fix the color of my hand next time and see if it shows up better. Claire, you had your anniversary 11 years when you guys got baptized. So what does the enemy do? He accuses you of something you felt in the flesh. You're a new Christian, so he attacks something to try to get you offended. He's always attacking us. I've been under attack almost every morning with, like you. I go to bed, it's like, I have peace. I'm okay with the Lord. I've been praying. I've been listening to Bible study, singing, worshiping. And it's like, you know, even before I have a chance to like really get dressed up in the armor of God or whatever, the enemy starts just attacking my mind with these little subtle thoughts to try to get me in any kind of doubt, uncertainty, get me thinking negative thoughts about myself. Or he'll come at me with some critical thought somebody said to try to get me in unforgiveness. And if I accept that thought, you know, it's the factious attacks against us. And, you know, so it's like, wait a minute, we're getting sideswiped here. You know, I'm not even fully awake or whatever. So it's like, he's just constantly trying to badger us. And we got to sleep with our armor on and wake up, you know, thinking, yeah, I did the same thing the last few mornings. He's like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do today? You know, so, you know, it's good, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I just hate this assailing thoughts on my mind. They're constant. So you're not alone. We're all in good company here. And attacking our thoughts, attacking our dreams, attacking our bodies, attacking things in our home. And we just gotta, you know, armor up. And the Lord had me just re-listen to, it's like I kind of needed a pep talk or a refresher on our authority in the kingdom of God teaching. Just a good reminder of, you know, just the enemy's tactics against us and who we are in Christ. And it's like Satan has already been defeated. He has no authority. He has no armor. He has no power, and we can't let him have any. And, you know, we just got to keep our having, you know, even my word at random on my e-sword was Ephesians 6:11, I think it was, about putting on, having done all to stand, or put on the whole armor of God. I'm like, okay, get me dressed. Here we go. You know, it's just the warfare is constant. We can't keep our, you know, let our guard come down at all. And Lord, help us, you know, help us, gird us all up and strengthen us and help us to be discerning of thoughts and not accept anything that's not you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for sharing your testimony.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Did you raise your hand, Geneva? I saw you raise your hand. Yes, I did too.
That was Kiki. He was raising his hand to give a testimony this time. He's like, I'm back.
You ought to have been with me.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Tell him to go out and find Sylvester and bring him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Dave.
I was going to talk just briefly about that baptism and maybe some others, what we've maybe experienced, at least for me. You know, when I was, some of us here, first time we might have been baptized, we didn't really have a choice. We were infants. So we got that infant baptism because that was part of the church thing. And everybody, and it was nothing against my parents, because I did it with my kids too. Back then, I didn't know any different, you know. I didn't know anything or other meaning behind baptism, just obedience to being baptized. And of course, a church that teaches infant baptism, because they're thinking it has something to do with salvation and protection of the child in case they die, they're going to go to heaven, so they're baptized and all that. And they kind of preach that that's kind of like we're getting the seal of approval of God, and you're maybe receiving His Holy Spirit at that time and all that. You know, they have all these ideas about baptism for infants. But later on, when I seen, when I did grown a little more in the word, not that I'd grown enough, but I was attending a church that basically went word for word through the whole scriptures, and we went through a whole book. And even then, you know, I didn't really completely understand baptism, but I knew that I wanted to get rebaptized as an adult because I thought that was the right thing to do, because it had been my choice now. It's something I wanted, it's something I needed to do. And so this church had a baptism. And so I went out that year and we did it in the lake, and I got baptized. And before I was baptized, the pastor said, "Well, I don't really need to explain this. You understand what baptism is about." And I said, "Well, yeah, but I really probably didn't understand what baptism was about even then." So I got baptized and it came up just being obedient, you know. But, you know, it probably wasn't until later when I finally came to UBM and David had that teaching, believing in your baptism. I listened to that, and I still have that once in a while, I listen to it, that I could fully appreciate and understand what baptism was all about and have a better understanding. And I think a lot of us, we go through the physical baptism, and we're being obedient, or we're following through however it went. You know, we got baptized, we remember it, but it's not something it's a one-time event. It's something that's symbolic too in our life. You know, it's like putting on Christ and believing that it's happened, that death, burial, resurrection, and running with that our whole life. So even though we might have that water baptism experience, unless you follow through with that and continue with that obedience and abiding in Christ and walking with him like we're doing on a daily basis and living out that baptism, that death, burial, resurrection, and walking into this life, you know, the water baptism, even though the obedience is there submitting to the word is there, unless you're walking it out, though, continuing your life, it was another thing that was vanity. It was vain. So I think we have a great thing we can look back as an experience, or not so great, however that happened, but it's still the point from that point forward, or getting into that point somewhere in your life, you have to start walking out that baptism and walking in newness. And that's the importance of the baptism for all of us. You know, it's not the one-time experience. It's like you're daily taking in walking that baptism and doing the best with the help of the Lord and walking by his grace in that newness of life, you know. So we get so much more out of that, knowing that's what the Lord intended for that baptism in our life was supposed to be. Just wanted to mention that.
All right. Anybody else? All right. David asked that in the chat. I think he said, let me see here. Can we have a moment of prayer for every single person here? Well, sure. Absolutely. You want to start us off?
Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for every single person that is here today, Lord. Lord, your blessing has been upon us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit come down on us, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever we don't see in front of us, Lord, open it up with your eyes, Lord Jesus. Give us your eyes so we can see everything we need to change. Lord, everything that's in our path, Lord, we need your eyes, Lord. Lord, come into every single person, Lord. Give us your strength, Lord, to go on. No matter how hard the enemy tries to attack us, even though the enemy gets mad at us because we turn to you, Lord. Lord, but we stand before you, Father. Fill us with your spirit, Lord Jesus. May our hearts sing praise and worship to you all day long, not ceasing, Lord Jesus. Let us give you praise and worship and be in prayer all day, every day, without ceasing, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Father. Lord, Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives, what you keep doing, Lord, every day. Lord, glory, hallelujah, Father. Lord, may your spirit be in every single heart and every mind, Lord. Glory, hallelujah, Father. Lord, always give us the right things to say and right things to do, Lord Jesus. May our right hand not know what our left is doing, Lord Jesus. May our hearts, may our minds be pure, Lord, and be filled with your spirit, filled with your word, Lord Jesus. So if people ask a question, Lord, we could answer with your word, Lord. Lord Jesus, glory, hallelujah. May we be in your presence anywhere we go, Lord Jesus. May we reflect you anywhere we go. Look at all of this. So if we enter through a door, people could look and be like, that's a man of God. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Cleanse us out with your blood, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Father. May your protection be upon us anywhere we go, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. May your vaccine be on us, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, because no sickness can come upon us because we got your blood upon us, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you that we could stand on your holy ground, Lord Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Father. You gave us the breath. Lord Jesus, you give us this breath. You wake us up every morning, Lord Jesus. And every morning you make us in your image. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this privilege we have to live on this land that you've given us, Lord. Let us take nothing for granted, Lord, because you've given us bread on our tables we could eat every day. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us, for me and my family, for everyone here, Lord. Bless us all with your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Peace to the God of Sunday. Anybody else? That was I don't know how we can improve on that, David. Glory be to God. I receive everything he prayed in the name of Jesus. And I know everybody in here does too. And Lord, we just believe by faith that you're doing that in each and every one of us, Lord. And that you're putting that peace and that love in our heart for each other, that like David prayed, Lord. Place it in our hearts to pray for each other every day. And to intercede and to ask you for the things that we're going to need in the days ahead. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Place it in our hearts, Lord, to receive the Holy Spirit every morning, to be filled with the Holy Spirit every morning, and to be led by it all during the day. And just like David said, Lord, I believe that if we'll pray all day long and be led by your spirit, we can't go wrong. We'll never go wrong. And we praise you for it, Father. We just love you. And we want more of you. That's the song goes. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Marilyn, go right ahead.
Lord, I just thank you and praise you. I thank you and praise you, Father. Father, I thank you that when you see us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, seated in the heavenly places and blessed with all your spiritual blessings. Father, I thank you and praise you that you
for the work you're doing in the body right now. I thank you for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father, to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, pouring out that spirit of repentance on us until we, to help us break up the fallow ground of our hearts until you come and reign righteousness. Father, I thank you and praise you for exposing those secret faults and those presumptuous sins. And Father, as you expose them, that we quickly just repent and believe. Father, I thank you for the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit you're doing in everyone here. Father, this is our family. These are our true brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the people that we can relate to in the spirit when everybody else just thinks we're nuts. But Father, I thank you and praise you for the work. Strengthening us in the inner man, that we not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Strengthening us in the inner man, that we hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. For Father, you're faithful that promised. Father, I thank you that you are cleansing and sanctifying us by the washing of water by your word. And Father, that you're delivering us from all this legalism, perfectionism, religious spirits, and salvation by works. And that we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us and teach us to rest, to enter into the rest. And that's when we will see you glorify Christ in us. In our own self, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we will therefore rather glory in our weakness, that the power of God may rest upon us. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you refine us not as silver. We're chosen in the furnace of affliction. But that's what you did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all it did was burn up the bonds in their lives, and Jesus was there with them, and they came out and they were promoted. And Father, we're believing for that. We can believe for everything that's in the Word. And truly, Father, we confess and we believe that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And Father, I just praise you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the coming of the man child, the anointing that will be upon him, and the anointing that he will impart to the bride. But also, Lord, that we are looking every day and expecting and believing every day, even through the trials and the tribulations and the tests that we go through every day, that Christ is coming in us and manifesting in us every day. And Father, you're faithful. You're faithful. They that wait upon the Lord, they that believe upon the Lord, they that confess the Lord, we will not be put to shame. And Father, to see Jesus glorified in us and with us and for us and through us, it's not us. Thank you, Lord, for taking us through this process of crucifixion, death, burial, but then there's the resurrection power of the Spirit of Christ glorified by the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. So, Father, I bless everyone here. I love everyone here. Everyone here is just a blessing. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in everybody. And I thank you for the new ones that that you're bringing in, and they're great testimonies. We were so blessed on Tuesday night to hear their testimonies. And Father, I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. You're so very faithful, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Let your love flow, Lord. And Lord, we ask for special anointing on the women tomorrow during the women's prayer meeting. We thank you, Father, that there's going to be mighty miracles because of the open heaven that you've given them, Lord. I know that there's a wonderful anointing on them. I ask you to double it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that all their prayers are going to be answered. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask that you touch everyone here tonight with a dream about what's coming, and that they would take it and ask you about it, Lord, if there's any questions, and give them the full meaning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, all over this world. Amen. Pat, you had talked about, Dave, explain a little bit what Pat was talking about the other night. Maybe you can explain it better. Not better than Pat, but.
I think Pat brought something up that was pretty good, was he talked about light and reference with God. And, you know, if we go through the scriptures, there's a lot of talk about light. And it talks about light with God. It talks about, you know, it references God in light. It references Jesus with light. It references disciples with light. And it also represents, you know, protection with light. And it's a very interesting topic if you look at it. And I thought, well, we could probably, in our own way, we could probably find verses we can talk about that reference light, and look and see if we can understand what the scripture is saying when it talks about light, in referencing with God and us and Jesus. And not that everything is metaphoric in any way, but there is some interesting things to look at and how the Bible uses the word light in reference with a lot in Christianity. So I thought maybe we could look at some of those Bible verses. It would be kind of interesting, and maybe what we can pull out of those. So,
all right, sounds good to me. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, the Lord gave me some stuff right after that as well, related to that. So that would be good. I know we're getting late here, but I'd like to, if I could, ask that the women put my wife Kathy on for prayer tomorrow. She's going through a time right now. I think the Lord has got his hand on her. And again, I've been very vague about her accident and whatnot, but she got in an automobile accident, and she's going through a lot of guilt now. Just like, you know, all of us, a lot of our sins follow us out, and we suffer the consequences. But the Lord is doing some things there. So I would just leave it at that, and like the women, if they could, to pray for her for whatever he lays on your heart. So I'd appreciate it.
Amen. I believe it's already done. Well, all right. We're out of time. We've already prayed. Y'all are sanctified. Go and do a lot for Jesus. Amen. talk to people from India, talk to people from all over, South Africa, Tennessee. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.
It's done.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Awesome night. Good
afternoon. If you get a chance, talk to that person in the mirror about Jesus, too.
Good night, everybody. Bye. Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Bye.
God bless you.
Love you,
too.
Amen.
See y'all. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
See y'all. What was that? Who was that? Was that Adelina or was that Abigail?
That was Abigail.
Abigail. Okay. Good night, Abigail. Bless you, girl.